This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Chad Daybell, he gets to keep his attorneys. You know, unlike some other cases where the attorneys have been coming and going, the judge specifically saying in this case, guess what? He ain't going anywhere. And we'll be representing him as the case progresses. 3 months away, a little bit less than 3 months away right now, actually, before Chad Daybell actually gets to trial. This is obviously a case that if you watch the Daybell trial, the first Daybell trial of his wife, Lori, it was pretty open and shut. Not much of a defense even brought to that courtroom. This round with Chad coming and an attorney that says, you know, I'm not going to be paid. I really, you know, I don't think I'm qualified. So many arguments were being thrown out there. And I'm sorry, just didn't make a lot of sense. And I think the judge saw it the same way. Let's start with the arguments that he was making to the judge about why he shouldn't be on the case. Were they valid arguments of I'm not going to be paid? Again, probably he knew that. And it's a capital case. If you're not qualified, again, you've been here for years. How do you suddenly now realize, maybe we should have somebody else in this spot?
Yeah, I mean, look, the judge is no fool. You know, I mean, this is clearly a move by the defense to stall. It was a stall move. The judge knew it, you know, because this is a death penalty case. So, you know, the incentive to stall it as long as possible exists because of that reason and that reason alone. And, you know, not getting paid is never a valid reason to be able to get out of a case in the eyes of the law. You know, I mean, like we typically can't even raise it as an issue that, you know, we haven't gotten paid by our client. You know, like a lot of defense attorneys will put in like kind of the secret language, like, oh, we're missing a crucial witness. Mr. Green has not shown up. So we need to delay trial, you know, and the judge. But so, yeah, like I knew that argument was going to fail in terms of him being inexperienced or, you know, not being up to the task. In terms of this being a death penalty case, same deal. You know, I mean, he's been on the case. He knows the facts. He's tried cases. Judge wasn't buying it, you know, and ultimately at the end of the day, it was a pretty simple decision. I did not think that he was going to grant the motion. I thought the trial was going forward. It's been delayed enough. So I was not surprised at all by the decision.
Does this create, though, I mean, here's what I'm wondering. Is this like a really kind of creative long play that John Pryor is attempting here for his client? Is John kind of throwing himself on the sword here publicly so that once Chad Daybell is convicted, because I'm sure he knows in his right mind, Chad Daybell will be convicted of this crime.
Yeah.
But will he die? Is this, look, we don't really have any other options here. There's not going to be a plea deal. There's not going to be this. There's not going to be that. The only way to prevent you from dying is some sort of an appellate issue later of maybe not getting a new trial, but maybe looked at going, well, look, even the attorney said they weren't qualified. Let's take death off of the table. You're just going to get life in prison. Is this a long play that we're looking at here right now and not really legitimately, I'm not qualified, I'm not going to get paid? Is this all of a strategy to basically save the life of Chad Daybell at the end of the day?
No. It's not.
Okay.
Ultimately, it's going to be, you know, when the case is tried, you know, they're going to look at the strength of the evidence and they're going to balance it out with it. Even if he is ineffective in some ways, if he misses objections, if there's motions that should have been filed, you know, I mean, the appellate court's going to look at it and say, okay, notwithstanding all those things, those mistakes by your attorney, the strength of the evidence was so powerful that it wouldn't have changed the verdict. Mm-hmm. You know, and ultimately that's going to be the case here. I mean, they have a stronger case against Daybell than they did against Lori Vallow because they know that he was a party to it. He was actually a party to the actual homicides, whereas Lori was, you know, in my estimation, the puppet master. You know, it did for one of the murders in Hawaii when it goes down. You know, I mean, she wasn't present for them. So I think that ultimately the way it's going to shake down is like that'll, if it was a long play in Pryor's mind, it's a loser.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be effective.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.